Hello, my name is Margaret Jasinska and I'm from Dr. Sandra Cabot's website, liverdoctor.com, and today I'm with nutritionist Louise Bell and we're going to talk about irritable bowel syndrome, otherwise known as IBS. Because it's such a common health condition that we see in our clinic every day, and really some estimates show that one in five people have got an irritable bowel. And so, if you've got irritable bowel syndrome, you can get a range of different unpleasant symptoms. Some people get bloating, some people get a lot of burping, you might get some heartburn or reflux, just feel uncomfortable every time you eat. You might get constipation or you might get diarrhea. And some unlucky people actually fluctuate between the two. Sometimes they're constipated, sometimes they've got diarrhea. So if you're one of those people that has bowel problems, we'd like to give you some helpful tips on how to overcome them today. And we'll share our experience from the clinic, what we've seen in our patients and what we've seen helps and works for people. I think the first thing that's important is to make sure you've actually got irritable bowel syndrome and not some other digestive disease. So it's always important to see your doctor and get any important medical tests done just to make sure that we rule out other conditions like maybe celiac disease, inflammatory bowel disease like Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis or bowel polyps. It's always good to be sure of what you're dealing with. Now, irritable bowel syndrome can be caused by several different things, and that's why it's sometimes difficult to overcome the condition. Don't you think, Louise?
Okay, well, I think IBS is generally more of a blanket word for a bunch of different symptoms, and there's lots of different causes which could be contributing to IBS, such as bacterial overgrowth in the small intestine, or sometimes people have food intolerances that maybe diagnosed as IBS, but really if you fix the diet and remove these foods that are causing the problems, then this person might be symptom free.
Absolutely, you can have almost overnight cures sometimes just by getting rid of some things from their diet.
Yeah, so that's why it's really important to really evaluate the cause of the IBS as opposed to just accepting that that's what it is and you have to deal with it.
And the problem also commonly with irritable bowel is the symptoms can creep on slowly, and a person has been suffering for years, so they just come to think that's normal for them. They just accept those kind of bowel problems.
Yeah, so some people are constipated every day of their life, or they experience bloating every single day and they just think that that's normal and they don't really think very much more about it. So I guess we're here to discuss with you what the causes are of IBS and the types of things that you can do to treat or cure it even.
Yes, exactly. And when it comes to foods, what we found in the clinic is that really gluten, sometimes other grains, sometimes dairy products, maybe corn, maybe soy products, sometimes eggs, sometimes nuts, they're the most common foods that can be irritating a person's bowel and give them IBS symptoms. So you might want to go on an elimination diet and just get rid of a handful of the most common offending foods and see how your symptoms go. But also sometimes there are other foods that are high in certain types of fibres. We call them high FODMAP foods, and they can really cause a lot of bloating. Because these FODMAP foods are high in prebiotics, and we always hear that prebiotics are good for us and they feed the good bacteria in our bowel. But unfortunately, if your bowel is overridden with all the wrong bad bugs, then the high FODMAP fibrous foods will cause the overgrowth of all the wrong bugs, and you'll be really symptomatic and uncomfortable. And some of those high FODMAP foods are things like garlic, onion, broccoli, cauliflower, apples. They're kind of foods that can cause some bloating, burping, gas for people.
Margaret, what do you think the best elimination diet would be to start off with if you're someone that's just been diagnosed with IBS and you want to, you know, get to the bottom of it? What would be the first step that you would recommend to your patients?
Well, I like to keep their diet simple, basically. So, you know, meals comprised of just, you know, maybe three or four ingredients rather than a whole lot of different ingredients, because then that can be more difficult to digest and also people won't know which foods they're reacting to. I have found that cooked vegetables are often more gentle on the digestive system than raw salads, particularly for people with bloating and diarrhea. And foods like seafood, poultry, eggs, with either steamed vegetables or roasted vegetables. Fruit can be okay as well, particularly for people who are more on the constipation spectrum. I wouldn't overdo it with things like nuts and seeds because they are high in fibre and they can be irritating to the gut lining while you're suffering with IBS. But of course, they're healthy foods to include in your diet later on when you're feeling well.
Another thing that I find is really good is to get the patient to keep food and symptom diaries, so they record, you know, every day what they've been eating and the types of symptoms they're getting. So they might rate their bloating on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst. So I ate this for breakfast and I'm bloated 7 out of 10. And they do this for every meal, and they track their bowel motions as well. So whether they're constipated or have diarrhea, they can track this. And then you might even start to find trends with foods that they're eating and symptoms that they're getting. And that would be another good way that you can start to draw these correlations and see what foods they might actually be reacting to.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea. And then it's, you know, black and white on paper. And sometimes it's their favourite foods that they're reacting to.
Usually the favourite foods.
Yes, absolutely. Then there's no escape. And see, another common cause of irritable bowel that you mentioned, Louise, is bacterial overgrowth in the intestines. Mm-hmm. And that can sometimes be a really stubborn problem and hard to overcome. And even just, you know, following a healthy diet is, well, it's necessary, but it's often not sufficient in order to get rid of that bacterial overgrowth. So apart from eliminating those foods that we mentioned and those particularly fibrous foods like garlic and onion, etc., there are some herbal remedies that are really good for cleaning up the intestines. I think of them really like a disinfectant for the bowel. And so it's herbs like oregano and thyme and clove, and in particular the essential oils from those herbs. If you take them in capsule form, and they're enteric coated capsules, they won't dissolve until they get into your small intestine. And there they can have a really good disinfectant action to kill that bad bacteria. And those capsules with those herbs are called BactoClear, and I give them to just about all of my patients with irritable bowel because it really helps to deflate a bloated belly. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, we need to work on correcting the gut bugs, because yes, having too much of the wrong gut bugs alone can be a cause of constipation or diarrhea. You know, there's a whole lot more to your bowel function rather than just the water and the fibre you're having, isn't there?
Yeah, I agree.
Mm. And also glutamine is something else that's really wonderful for healing an irritated and inflamed intestinal lining. And that's particularly for people who are more towards the diarrhea spectrum, or they're getting some, you know, discomfort, cramps in their tummy, or if you know that you've got a leaky gut, glutamine is a wonderful thing because it's a type of protein that's used by the cells of your gut lining, and it helps them to repair and regenerate. And it's wonderful for just giving symptom relief.
Yeah, it is. It's really soothing to the gut lining, and it will help to repair, which is really great. And if you're someone, like Margaret mentioned, you've got the bacterial overgrowth, or if you've had excess candida in your gut, this can actually cause damage and cause the leaky gut. Or if you've got a food intolerance, which if you've got IBS, you probably do, your gut is inflamed. So you need this glutamine to actually reduce the inflammation, to heal the gut lining and to help repair it. And unless you repair the gut, you're going to be more sensitive.
And it's also important to not be constipated, because if you've got the bacterial overgrowth and then you take a supplement like BactoClear to fix it and you remove problematic foods, but then you are constipated, well, you know, like the good work gets undone. And if you're not having at least one good bowel motion every day, then you will get bacterial buildup and you can get back to square one in your gut. What have you found is good for constipation, Louise?
Well, for constipation, I think drinking a lot of water is really important. People in general don't drink enough water, but what actually happens if your body isn't getting enough water, it reabsorbs all the excess water from the stool, and then it's just sitting in there and it's hard to move through. So if you drink enough water at least 2 litres a day, and warm water can really help to just relax the bowel and get things moving as well. That's really good. And magnesium powder is one of my other favourites because magnesium is a smooth muscle relaxant and your bowel is a muscle. So if you're relaxing this muscle, then it helps to move the bowel motion through and just get things going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And magnesium is also great for stress, anxiety, tension, and nearly everybody's IBS is worsened when they're stressed, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Stress is one of the major causes of constipation. So if magnesium is helping to relax the bowel as well as helping to relax you, then that's a really good thing.
Yes, and particularly for people that get constipated when they travel, you know?
Yes.
They're away from home, they can't go for a few days, they're on holiday, they're incredibly uncomfortable. Bring your magnesium with you. It'll make it a much more pleasant trip.
And in your opinion, do you think the magnesium powder or magnesium tablets are better absorbed?
I give the powder to most of my patients because it is absorbed very quickly and you can, you know, you can modify the dose easily with a powder, whether you take a flat teaspoon or a heaped teaspoon or 2 teaspoons. Mm-hmm. You know, there'll be a bit of trial and error to see what helps your bowel and what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And another common contributor to bacterial overgrowth is if you're not producing enough stomach acid. And, you know, stomach acid has a bad reputation, but stomach acid is a wonderful thing. It's good for you. We need acid in our stomach because we need it for digestion, particularly for protein digestion and mineral digestion. And stomach acid is a wonderful disinfectant, and so it helps to prevent bacteria from overgrowing in the intestines and also in the stomach. And there are ways that we can help improve stomach acid, aren't there, Louise?
Yeah, so there's a few things you can do. So, for instance, you could use apple cider vinegar before a meal. So 1 teaspoon or 1 tablespoon in a glass of water about 10 minutes before your meal will help to get those gastric juices flowing so that you're better able to digest your food. And also things like bitter foods or lemon juice before the meal will also help to get the gastric juices flowing and allow you to better digest your food.
That's right. Yeah. People don't eat enough sour stuff or bitter stuff anymore, but certain leafy greens, which you can even grow in your own garden.
Yeah, like rocket or endive, watercress.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What are your favourites, Margaret?
Oh, well, rocket. But
yeah, I love rocket.
Americans don't call it rocket. They call it arugula. They won't know what we're talking about.
Arugula.
And we can also take a supplement. It's called betaine hydrochloride, which is actually stomach acid in concentrated form. And it makes the world of difference to a lot of people with IBS, with bacterial overgrowth, particularly for people who are bloated. So you can get a supplement of betaine hydrochloride, and also you can take digestive enzymes in a supplement form, and they're wonderful for really just helping you to extract all the nutrition from your food and from your supplements, and also you'll be leaving behind less waste in your bowel for bad bacteria, yeast or candida to feed off. It's also important with IBS just to remember that digesting food is hard work for human beings. And so we weren't designed to eat all day. So ideally, you'd have 3 satisfying meals and then not eat between meals. So fasting has a lot of therapeutic benefits, and there are all sorts of different ways to fast. And some fasting regimes aren't appropriate or safe or necessary for each individual. So I recommend my patients start by fasting between meals. just don't have snacks. Yeah. If you can avoid it, you know, some days we're more hungry than other days, it's fine, have a snack then. But try not to snack as a rule, try not to snack as a distraction or procrastination tool. You know, it's important to give your gut a rest. And try not to eat too late at night either, because, you know, if you eat and then go to sleep shortly after, your gut won't be digesting your meal properly, and you're more likely to then end up with reflux, heartburn, and, you know, feel just nauseous and blah the next morning.
Yeah, and I think not eating late at night is one of the easiest ways to do a fast, because, for instance, if you have your last meal at 7 p.m. and you don't eat anything after 8 p.m. and then you don't have breakfast till after 8 a.m. the next day, that's a whole 12 hours that you haven't eaten any food for, and your digestive system has really had a chance to just rest and digest and you know, soothe itself.
Absolutely. You'll end up with a better quality sleep that way. Yes. And your gut will be happier.
Yeah.
So we hope that you found some of those tips and suggestions helpful. So if you'd like more information, there are so many articles about irritable bowel and other bowel conditions on our website, liverdoctor.com. And if you have other questions that we haven't addressed, you could always write to us, send us an email. And you can also have a look at Dr. Cabot's recent book called Healthy Bowel, Healthy You. And that gives you so much more information about many specific bowel problems. So thank you again for listening, everybody. And thank you, Louise, for your company today. Bye, everybody.
Bye.